Welcome to the She Can Have It All podcast with me, Sammy. I'm a certified RTT therapist and I specialise in shifting women's self-sabotaging patterns, that be thoughts or behaviours, and into self-love, self-belief and self-worth, because those three magical components are what will entirely, completely and permanently change your life. So you've been drawn to this show for a reason. If you're fed up with life not being how you want it to be and you deserve it to be, or even you're just fed up with yourself repeating the same patterns of behaviour over and over, well, on this podcast I bring my own life stories and experience, my science-based therapy knowledge and background, and transformational insights just for you, so that you can finally decide that you can have it all, because life gets to be really good. Hello, Lottie.
Hello, how are you, my darling?
Yes, amazing, and very excited to have you here as my first guest, my first and very important guest here to speak and share all the goodness that you have with the world, because not enough people know about it.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me as well. It's really lovely, and it's so nice to be in space with you together. It's lovely. It's really nice. Yeah.
So if you guys listening don't really know much about me, firstly, you might be a new listener, so hello, welcome. But me and Lottie actually trained together in Rapid Transformational Therapy in 2018, I think it was, wasn't it? And so since then we've kind of like built up our own businesses and practices, but we've both gone on different kinds of like paths. However, obviously, ultimately very similar. When we have conversations, the similar things come up for our clients, don't they? Same, yeah, exactly, the same limiting beliefs and condition and that kind of stuff, all that juicy shit that we like to get out of the way immediately. So Lottie, tell everybody a little bit, just like whatever comes to you about what you want to share about you and what you do.
Cool. So I'll start with sort of my journey into probably mental health. Was that I was exposed to huge trauma when I was 25. My brother took his own life, and the trauma regarding that and how it kind of, again, when we're talking about limiting beliefs and how that unsettled us, or unsettled us when we go through that trauma, is absolutely immense. So your sense of self is very rocked, and everything else. And sometimes we see things, or just even going through that trauma is absolutely, you know, is a bit like living a real life nightmare. And my journey of self was kind of going after that. It was kind of taking everything back to the foundation of how do I continue to live so I then don't go down a pathway that's similar. Can I be of service to others when they are struggling with their mental health? Was there a message in there in terms of Hector's story that I could share that would hopefully benefit other families or benefit other people that were going through sort of any issues that may lead down to suicide? So when we talk about mental health, we all have mental health. And then it's looking at kind of where we are on that spectrum of, is our mental health generally good? Is there something that's come into our environment that then makes our feel unbalanced, makes ourselves feel unbalanced? And of course, when you get down further down to that route, you've got, you know, depression, suicidal ideation, suicidal thoughts, suicidal tendencies. And that's really down to the other end of where, when we're talking about good or bad mental health, where we are unwell and we are probably diagnosed with depression or something that fits into a criteria there. So my message and my journey for me personally was I struggled and suffered very badly with PTSD. So coming out of that, coming out the other side of that, I wanted it to be a journey and a message for others to say, we really can carry on. So even if you've gone through something that is horrendously traumatic, you can carry on. You can keep going. And it's important to remember that, you know, with self-care and again, the right self-talk and all of those things that we know are so fundamentally important to live well, you absolutely can. So that's my personal journey of that. And then out of that, hectorshouse.org.uk was born, which is a suicide prevention charity in the UK, in honor of my brother, and to again keep that message going. So there is always somebody to reach out to, and we fundamentally, that's what we do. So we are a signposting charity. So you can go onto our website, and then we have curated all of, especially within the UK, but we are being used now globally, all of the charities in one place. So if you're struggling with anxiety, or you're struggling with depression, or there's really those next steps within and on our website. So if you're struggling to have a conversation, or needing to let somebody know that you're struggling with your mental health, or how do I go and have that conversation with a GP, the information is on our website. So that's what we kind of that's first and foremost what we were. And when you go through something and you go through that trauma, and with Hector, we very much from very early on, we talked about the fact that he'd died by suicide. We never mentioned method. We never talk about anything like that, because that's not how responsibly we talk about suicide, but you can use that word. So we didn't shy away from using that. We really opened the conversation up. And of course, when you open the conversation up and you are authentic in that sense, people then come to you and they share the most phenomenal stories that they're struggling, and that that their family members may be struggling. And these are just general members of public that were talking to us about their mental health. And so that's how Hector's House was born. And then we've then organically grown. We got charitable status in 2016, and then we've grown. So we go in and talk about going to schools and talk about talking. We go into corporates and talk about talking. We go into, again, some of the healthcare sectors, again, talking about lived experience and how we keep doing what we're doing after what we've been through. Essentially, in a nutshell.
Wow, that is actually amazing. See, I don't know the ins and outs of everything about Lottie's experience. Like, you told me a little bit, but not, even just the way you speak, like the wording that comes through you is so, well, even just the words authentic. I don't know, it's so from the heart, isn't it? And you know so much, and you sound so knowledgeable on all of that. And do you feel through this experience that that was your healing?
Certainly, I think in terms of going forward and doing what we do as the charity, like to experience something so real and so close to our heart makes me then better at doing what I do today. We have that element of being able to sit with somebody in those moments, whether it's, whether it's in therapy or whether it's just being a human being. So when somebody is struggling, whether it's your parents or your partner or your brothers or your sisters, like what we need in that moment is to be really seen and validated. Those feelings need to be seen and validated. And it doesn't, sometimes we have to have those conversations, and that's what this has brought. This has definitely sort of gone through is understanding and having that ability to be able to have that conversation on a level where people are seen and understood and heard and have the confidence to share what they're saying. So it's definitely interlinked to everything that we do. So yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So you would say that the most kind of core root issues that comes up in the people that come to your charity, and also Lottie on the side takes private therapy clients, don't you?
I do indeed.
So you would say the core of the most of the people that come to you would be that they need to be seen and heard, and just given that safe space to basically like grow the roots again, to know that they are lovable, they are worthy of being here just as much as everyone else.
Absolutely. And fundamentally, to have a safe space that's held with unconditional positive regard is healing in itself. And that's what we do. And to be able to, that's an amazing gift that we're able to help people do that. So whatever, in whatever capacity we do it. So, in terms of the RTT, and we're holding that space and having elements of that therapeutic relationship with someone, that could be the first time that they've ever, number one, felt safe enough to be seen. When we talk about those limiting beliefs of playing small, maybe that was a coping skill for what somebody needed to be when in their childhood. So when you give voice to them allowing themselves to be, to play big, that's so freeing to give somebody the chance to say, actually, I'm allowed to play big. I don't need to keep that, when we talk about letting go, I don't need to keep that coping strategy in place anymore. I'm safe and I'm allowed to be seen in this world.
Yeah, that's such a big one, isn't it? Do you
Yeah.
know what I was thinking when I was writing down the notes before our call? Basically, I was saying to Lottie when we had our like pre-chat before this that I kind of like just wing things and don't even write anything down. And then I just felt called that I needed to write a few questions down, so I basically just follow whatever I think. But yeah, I was thinking that that is the thing, is like the biggest limiting belief and core root issue that I feel come up is just this fear of being seen and being heard in the world. And exactly what you say, that it literally takes one person to say, I believe in you and I'm here to listen to you, and that can transform someone's entire internal world, can't it?
Yeah, and I mean that's so beautiful, like the way you put that gives me like an actual visceral response, like it gives me goosebumps, like I see you and I believe in you, and if I believe in you can believe in you, and that's when you're like to be able to do that and give that to somebody is very freeing for them, and that go on.
Oh no, I was just going to say, would you say that you feel more power through with your work through speaking with children or adults, or do you not really have much difference?
I generally work with, I would say I work with adults. I have done some work with children, but I generally work, or I'm working with teenagers. So that's, and Hector's house is very much, Heck was 18 when he took his own life. So we very much are very mindful of working with the teenagers. And I think when we talk about mental health generally, the younger generations, if we can get them to really understand the knowledge about what feelings are, about what thoughts are, that thoughts are not them and they can control them and they're not facts, if we can enlighten our youngsters, then hopefully they're going to be more knowledgeable than we were at their age. And so that's how we begin to change, we make that change and we can be of service to them. So some of the schoolwork I do, very much I'm young person orientated, the charity is young person orientated, but we wouldn't turn away anybody of any age because it takes so much courage to reach out that it's so important that when you do reach out that that is again held and know that there is somebody there that can help them in that moment. And even if it's just signposting, I will always get back to somebody. So if they say I really need some help, it may be that they just need that guiding hand to say, have you spoken to your GP? Have you signed up to IAPT? Have you done, any of these things? Let me give you a little bit of a list to sort of to help you on your way, because sometimes people just don't have that knowledge. And although it may seem small, that's those first steps. They're taking those incredible first steps to start that journey, which is so important.
Yes, it kind of like sets off a domino effect of it's so brave and courageous to, it's all like they really have to, it takes a lot of effort to step out of your comfort zone to say, look, I am actually worthy of even just having a conversation with someone, even if it's not like investing in themselves to transform and transcend their inner world and outer world. It's like even just having a conversation with a family member or a friend to say, look, I feel like this, I don't think it's normal or right, or not the word normal really, because what on earth is that,
Is
but
normal.
yeah,
Sure.
I don't feel like this is serving me, or I'm worried that it could go down a deep hole. Like, I just need to say this out loud. And then it kind of sets off this domino effect of almost like an awareness of what the next stage is to do, where to go next, who, like signposting, like you say, people could do that. So it actually, the first step of even
saying it out loud is a massive deal. And that's it. And that's, you know, and that's where it's so important when, you know, when people come to us, where however they come to us. So and with you, Sammy, they are literally, they're on that kind of that next step of like, I'm going to dial up, you know, and I need to interrupt this. And it's a different place where people come to with me. But it's always so important that when they come, that we go, thank you for coming. And I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad you're here and that you want to invest in this. And, you know, that's what our job is, to say, we can help you change the end of that story. And we can, you know, it's a co-collaboration, isn't it? We collaborate with our clients in whatever way and however they come to us in order for them to live a better life, no matter where they are and what, you know, where they enter that sort of that realms of therapy. That's what we all want. And that's what I hope all therapists want, you know?
Yes, absolutely. I heard of this the other day, because, you know, I'm so spiritual, fully back all of this about energy and consciousness and everything like that, and thoughts and feelings and how very much important they are, as well as intellect and the physical world and that kind of thing. And apparently this year we have stepped into what's called the new Aquarian age, which apparently is like every 2000 years or something. I'm probably got this completely wrong, so if anyone's interested, please Google it, because don't like depend on me. But it means that, like, yeah, what is she talking about?
No,
she
I
just
love
made
it.
That up. I have, because I'm an Aquarius also, so I was like, oh hell yeah. But basically that has nothing to do with it. It basically means that we are now stepping into this new kind of understanding of consciousness and understanding of energy, and basically realizing that there is more to us and this world than what we have been living up to this point, and how we've just been copying the conditioning from what generations we've taken from our parents and all that. And it's like, we're stepping, apparently this year is the year we're stepping into like a new understanding and awakening. And when you, the wording that you were using, like being of service and that kind of thing, like apparently this is going to be a brand new start, which I think is amazing for like the next generation to start it and then just affect the generations from then on.
And yeah, I completely, you know, I completely agree. And you begin to see that, like when we talk about the, you know, everybody is so much more conscious about how we shop, where we shop. You know, if you think about the clothing and fast fashion, and definitely when you're even listening to the youngsters, they are very much conscious about plastic bottles or where their things are coming from, or and you, they're so much more conscientious about the planet, and that's very enlightening to hear that, and that's coming from their teachers and their messaging. And so you're beginning to see bit by bit that shift. And with that shift is taking care of ourselves. With that shift becomes, you know, what's our focus on nowadays? And that self-awareness of a living well. And as you say, the conditioning that we've had from past generations is, you know, very much financially based and very much about kind of go, go, go. And I think we're beginning to see this very mild and bit by bit, sort of like a drip feed of actually there's a different way to live, and we're allowed to explore that different way to live, and we can find balance within that, which is, I think, is so exciting and it's so necessary. So I feel very excited to be standing at the forefront of that, you know, doing what we do.
Definitely, because mental health awareness is becoming such a big and understood thing now. And I think especially over the pandemic, people just started to think, I need something different, like I need to look for something more, because whatever's going on right now is just not working for me,
for sure. Absolutely. And that some of our coping strategies, so whether they're unhealthy or healthy, whichever way we look at them, were stripped from us. And so we had to then either that dials up, you know, those thoughts within our heads, those thoughts, those feelings, those beliefs become dialed up, or we don't have a way of expressing them, or, you know, helping them become more diffused through, for example, exercise, if that's if that's your thing, or you know, those different things. So everything was, or large percentage of things that we use for coping strategies were removed due to lockdown. And so that then forces us to almost inwardly reflect, which sometimes then the pressure point that comes out of that is people are like, I am not as good as I thought I was, or I'm not doing that. Plus the fact that we're going through a massive pandemic, which again, you know, the bombarding of just that information and the cons, you know, if you're not careful, the overconsumption of the news or of the of all of those things is so hard. And I talk a lot about the fact that we can curate the information that we take on. So if we're struggling with our mental health in a day, and I don't mean sort of diagnosed clinical depression, I just mean human beings and they're having a bit of a wobbly mental health day. That's where I'm coming from with this. We have the ability to switch off the news. We have the ability to not, you know, maybe read it rather than listen to it, because we don't have control, or it doesn't feel like we have control when we listen to something. Whereas when we're reading it, we consciously go, oh, I'm not going to read that article, or I'm not going to take that article on. So when we're talking about consumption, we have the power to, you know, we have the power to choose what we look at. But sometimes we forget that. And so when we're having those mental, you know, those days where our mental health isn't so good, or it's a little bit wobbly, it's about really taking on, you know, those steps of self-care to go, okay, that's not helpful for me. That's going to be harmful if I go down that rabbit hole, or if I'm looking at so much destruction. The news is always going to be there. And so it's also taking that step back and saying, for me, I have to take a step back from that for an hour, or I need to stop reading the stats and statistics every day if that's unhealthy for me or it's unhelpful. And so, you know, it's a really about, again, I think there's a, you know, again, self-care is a very like buzzy word at the moment. And when I talk about self-care in terms of living through trauma and living through, you know, all of the things that in life has exposed or I've witnessed, self-care is really fundamentally about like, how do we bring that, strip that right back to the beginning? Can we look at a view that's more helpful to us? Can we look at something that gives us more perspective on life? Can we go and ground ourselves in nature? Can I go and stroke my dog? Those things are really important when we talk about self-care, not necessarily about having a bath bomb and a face mask. And I feel very strongly, because again, it's something that is very much, and I do, you know, self-care is fundamentally important, but it's how we dress and how we look at self-care, because it's not always as glamorous as we think it is. Sometimes self-care is having, you know, a really big emotional big cry, and people, that's not glamorous. And then people, and that is actually self-care, because sometimes we need to express those, you know, we need to express those thoughts and those feelings. And again, like with Marissa, if we don't let them out in tears, they're going to harm other parts of, you know, they're going to cause other organs to weep, which is what she talks through. So sometimes self-care, when we're talking about that, it is about having that big emotional release, which is really important, or screaming into a pillow, or doing something that's safe, but sometimes we have to get those things out. And so I think for me, looking at self-care and addressing it in a way that is authentic and is real is so important for all of us.
Yeah, and actually we were having this conversation the other day, weren't we, that you, the line you used is, it is actually hard to be a human, in a sense of that, you know, the stuff that we know is good for us is actually at the bottom of our list of what we actually fucking want to do, because we don't want to. We want to sit up and we want to watch the TV, Netflix, the news. We want to eat the shit, this food that we know that's not going to sit well with us. We want to, I don't know, consume alcohol, basically anything to take us away from pain, right? To like simmer what's actually going on in the surface here and push it all back down. And it's actually really hard to do the stuff that's going to bring that to the surface and force us to face it and sort it out.
And that's where that reparenting comes in, to say, I know that this might be like not particularly comfortable for me, but I know I have to do that. It's like when we can take ourselves out for and put ourselves in perspective of a young child, you know, we wouldn't let them stay up all night, because we know fundamentally as their parent that if they stay up all night, they're going to feel really tired the next day, or the following morning they're not going to be in a great mood. We know that, the same as if we don't give them nutritionally dense food, or they had the choice, they'd probably eat chocolate. But we also know as their parent, actually, that's not going to be very helpful for you moving forward. But we can't see, the struggle is that we struggle with reparenting ourselves. If it wasn't modeled, that behavior wasn't modeled for us, then we then struggle to take that and to do that. And as you say, it's hard being a human because sometimes we do, it's the things that we say I don't want to do, but I know I have to do them. And that's when we begin to then have that positive regard for ourselves, where we say, I know that I don't love doing this, or I might feel like I don't. And again, when we're talking about making things familiar, you know, doing those things that we know fundamentally are beneficial to us over doing the things that we really want, that short-term gratification, I'm going to stay up and watch Netflix, regardless of what the long-term goal of that, regardless of the long-term outcome. So, you know, it's looking at extending the gratification that we get over what we're feeling in that moment. So, as you say, we want to stay up all night, and that's not really going to help us when we're trying to achieve all of the other things that we do, being, you know, being a good wife or doing this or being just being a human being. If we stay up all night until 1 o'clock in the morning, that's not moving us towards the goal of general living a healthy, happy life. It's actually detrimental. But in that moment, we think, no, fuck it, I'm going to do that because I really want to. And it's about nurturing ourselves enough to say, I know that's what you want to do, but it might not be the best thing for you to do. Or can we negotiate with that moment? Can we negotiate and say, let's stay up for another hour and then we're going to go to bed? So sometimes it's about negotiating with that inner version of ourselves that says, I want to do this. Okay. Is there a negotiation? Is there a halfway house? Because sometimes that's also really important, you know. So, and whatever level you look at that, sometimes with depression, people say I'm really struggling with basic human. So they struggle to shower, or they struggle to brush their teeth, or they struggle to, you know, all of those things. Load the dishwasher becomes really exhausting and really tiring, especially if, you know, for example, if you're a new mum, you know, you're exhausted, and then you've got to do all of those other things as well. And it's sometimes about saying, okay, what's my 1% I can do today rather than my 100%? What's the 1% I can do to take care of myself? How can I gently nourish and nurture myself through this moment that feels uncomfortable? What is that? You know, so.
Absolutely, because then that just reels off again that domino effect of focusing on, right, what can I do instead? It's actually being a bit more aware, isn't it?
Yes.
Being a bit more aware that this isn't actually really serving me very well. So what can I do instead? Just one tiny thing, and then maybe next time you'll look again because it's in your focus. It's in, like, I think I said on my stories, on my Instagram stories today, it's like, if you the reticular activating system that works for us, like if you think of a new car that you really want, you just see that car everywhere because it's within
Everywhere.
your focus, isn't it?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So, just being more interested in you here, really, Lottie. But so, we personally had to go through like quite a lot of therapy sessions for ourselves, didn't we? I mean, I've taken that to the next level ever since, and I am so proud to openly speak about it. And I love having therapy all the time. I mean, you don't have to share if you don't feel like you need to, but are there any like specific, what I call like little girl limitations? So the inner child kind of work here that kind of was always a bit of a pattern for you that shows up regularly.
Yes, so to go back to your question as well, so we had to do so much soul searching fundamentally to begin with, didn't we? And I am too a massive advocate of continuous therapy. I think that therapists should be in therapy. I think for me, that's something that we should be doing because we're always learning as human beings. So I too completely endorse that therapists should be in therapy regularly because it does really help us. It helps us to be, you know, aware, to notice things that we may not notice, and then to be able to take that forward into our sessions is powerful, you know. And when we're so yeah, that's really important for me. Again, like playing small, playing it safe for me. Ironically, when I go out and talk and I talk about lots of things and my lived experience and all of that amazing stuff, there is still that moment where I'm kind of that's unfamiliar to be seen. It's unfamiliar to, you know, to take that forward and be like, you can stand in this and have you have permission to kind of be like, what you've been through is a lot, and what you're going through is, you know, is also inspiring to others. Sometimes I struggle with it being inspiring to others because you've lived in it for so long, So that's something that I, in terms of that little girl nurturing, it's saying she did a phenomenal job of going through some really, really heavy shit, and she's out the other side, and currently, you know, is working of to be of service to others and to keep going. Like, my story in itself is inspirational, but that's uncomfortable for me to say. I'm learning, and yeah, and making that more familiar.
And I love how you're saying this so honestly and like truthfully that it comes up for you every time. And this is what I feel like some people don't understand, is that we might be there being a bit more loud and a bit more proud or whatever than other people. But actually, most of the time, before we do that thing, before you step on that stage or before you show up on like the Instagram stories or the phone calls or whatever, you actually shit your pants a little bit because it's not natural, is it? It's like
No,
stepping
oh
out of that
no.
comfort zone. And it just comes back to the basic tribal needs that we all evolve from, is that it's really unsafe to be different. And so if you are seen as not, you know, basically being different, saying something different, not following the crowd, that threatens your basic survival. And it's like you just actually have to, you're gonna feel that stuff. Like that stuff is not gonna go away. But it's like I like to call it with my clients a faster recovery rate. So you will just notice it and work through it faster.
And bounce, like for me, like it's about bouncing back. Like I always talk about resilience, like you know, the bounce back is quick. And so, and that whole thing, like I can notice that now, and I can nurture even in that moment, like whether it's a bit of like putting my hand on my heart and being like, I've got you. This is okay to do this. Like it's okay to move forward and to be this, because like you can be proud of that. Like it's okay. And I know it feels scary to you. And sometimes I really do have to like put my hand on my heart and be like, I've got you. I've got this, to nurture that inner child, because she's still in there. And like, and the same thing as you say, Sammy, like people think that therapists have it all together. Like we don't have it, you know, we don't have it all together. We too are human beings. We're not sort of, we're living this life the same as every other human being on this world. And I think, yeah, for people to say that, our therapists to say, you know, we are learning, we're growing, we're doing the same thing, and we might be more advanced than somebody else, but it doesn't mean that we do, it does not mean just because we're therapists that we are excused from having any problems or any struggles. Absolutely not. We just may be able to notice them and say, okay, how do I work through that? I'm not afraid of noticing that. That's not going to hold me back. I'm going to stand in my power and continue to do what I'm doing, but it doesn't mean that we're void of feeling those things that I think other people expect us not to feel.
Do you know what? I was literally thinking the other day, I think I was doing a meditation. It was like, put your hand on your heart, and I forgot that how much I used to love doing that. Like since becoming a mum, I just had lost all senses of all the shit that was really good for me.
Yes, and seeing yourself like as a mum, like seeing yourself and being like, I see you, and I like, and putting your and feeling your own heartbeat, because we the same thing, we give out, whether we're a therapist, a mum, a wife, all of those things, we're giving out all the time, which is incredible. But sometimes we need to take that breath, and we need to bring it back into ourselves, and we have to notice that we still have our own heartbeat and see ourselves and say, I see you. Because sometimes, like when we're feeling not the best, like not the best version of ourselves, or we're having those wobbly mental health days, it's because we've forgotten to say, hey, you're doing a good job. Fundamentally putting your hand on your heart and saying, I've got you, this is hard, but we're going to get through it, because we can do hard things. We always have done hard things, you know, keep going. So yeah, I find music is emotive as well. So like it's like certain songs, I think sometimes there's a song by Betty Who that's like always forever, and the lyrics in the chorus are like, talk about I love you always, forever, near and far, closer together, everywhere I will be with you, everything I will do for you. And I really do like think about that when in those moments where I feel like that inner version or that inner child is wobbly, I say that to myself, and I'm like, I've got you, and every, you know, everything I do is for you, and I've got you, and I'm always going to be here, because that's what we need to hear. those are fundamentally the words that we all are longing to hear if we haven't heard them before, or if we need reminding. Fundamentally, those are the things. I love you. You're here. I'm so glad you're here. I've got you. You're important to me. Like, those are the words that we all are wanting to hear. So if we can say them to ourselves, or we can think of, if there's a song that again particularly inspires us to feel that way, then that's really powerful, because we can do that to ourselves. And in turn, that makes us have more capacity to be able to then be the giving mum, be the giving wife, be the giving partner, be the giving, business, therapist, whatever those things are, because we have more capacity for self-love, we have more capacity for then outwardly giving love, give and receive.
I fully agree with that. I fully agree with every word. Recently, people, I've been forcing myself to go to bed at like a ridiculously grandma time of day. But
Yes.
exactly what Lottie is explaining here is that me forcing myself to do the shit that I don't want to do, but ultimately knowing that putting myself first is enabling me to have the energy, the space, the time, the capacity, the love to be a better mother and run a business.
Yes.
So you're so right. Like, you do need to be selfish because you are here ultimately for yourself, right?
But being selfish, like, is it selfish, or are we saying actually we need to put, we don't, it's the same thing. Like, is it being selfish, or is it the fact that we have been told it's selfish to put yourself first? And then there's a whole, again, like when we're talking about in the world, that's then, dictated that that's negative to put yourself first. But when you breathe, you take a breath in and then you give a breath back out, don't you? And that's the same thing. Like, so even if we think about that, you breathe in and then you breathe out again. You take a breath and then you give one back out. And that's the same thing as when we're talking about, it's not being, it's, it, I don't think about it as being, self-care isn't selfish. Self-care is fundamentally how we then can show up as a human being that is then able to manage and cope with capacity and be able to, have enough capacity in our emotional buckets to do whatever we want to do.
Yeah, I love that. I feel like the word selfish really then should just be exchanged for self-care, because it has got such a bad connotation behind it, hasn't it? That word.
Oh man, and that's that whole point where you think it's not selfish. Like, yeah, and I would, that's a, I would I would always say, it's not selfish. It's fundamentally important that we do, that we take care of ourselves first, because in order, once we take care of ourselves, we become better at everything else. And caring role, whatever that role is in life, whether it's, however you show up as, that all of us have these elements of caring roles. So we must care for ourselves before we care for others, because we can. Our ability to care more, which is what we want to be, is, generally in that caring role, we always say, oh, I want to be more. So do you know what? When we want to be more, when we want to exude, get that caring role, the best thing we can do is care for ourselves. We can dial that up. So the more we think, I need to give that to my clients, I need to give that to my daughter, really, what life is saying to you is, you need to give it to you, because when everything is balanced and we're on that, we're in that good space, you don't think about being, oh, I need to give more caring time, because actually it's not something that we struggle with. But when we don't fill ourselves up, that's when it becomes, oh, I coulda, woulda, shoulda. I wish I was a better mum, or I wish I could be a better, whatever it is. But it's because sometimes it's directly like we're saying, actually, we need to put that in rather than shine it back outwards.
Yes, exactly the similar analogy to what you said earlier. If you keep on breathing out but don't take the breaths in, eventually you're going to just drop to the floor.
There you go.
But it is so I was just thinking something then, but yeah, absolutely correct. That is going to come back to me because I was just thinking something really
Yeah,
big.
go, bring it back, bring it back.
Bring it back, stop thinking about it, and it will. So
Yeah,
whilst
we'll
I'm
come
not
back.
thinking about it, whilst I take my mind off of that, what do you feel like you, what kind of like legacy do you want to leave? Like, what impact are you wanting to have? Like, what's your vision?
So I have two visions. So my vision fundamentally as a person is, how can I be of service to others in a way that, how do I model behavior? How do I model self-care to my family and my friends in a way that says this is a healthy way to live that keeps me well. How do I model that? How do I, how can I show up in the world like that? Fundamentally important. And how can I be of service to others? So how do I do that? What does that look like in my community? How do I do that? What is that as a challenge for me with Hector's House legacy? It is to then eventually I would like a real Hector's House where people can come, and again would be sort of a space where people can talk, or there's again opportunity to have therapy, opportunity to go and do art, opportunity to go and be within nature, to look at the animals, and really that's what that for Hector's House legacy is something that I really aspire to. And then to bring it back down to me, it's that service of others. How do I model that so other people know that even if you've been through a really hard time, it doesn't necessarily mean that life is going to get easier, but you can live and you can be okay. But it takes work. I think
Amazing.
so.
Oh, that feeling I was coming up with, the thought I was coming up with is that if you do not continue to put the abundance in you first to have more to give to others, you can just be filled up with the feelings of like resentment and I'm pissed off now. And
Oh,
when am I
yes.
going to come first? And oh, you're not doing this for me, but I'm doing it for you. It suddenly starts to switch into like just an anger for all that you're
For
giving.
sure. Yes, and when you look at the triangulation of terms of like a codependency or things like that, we constantly give out and we say there's no expectation to have anything received back. But then when you question that resentment, that's where that kind of the rescuer always wants to be rescued. And so it's then making sure that you can notice that. And as you say, so that resentment then doesn't begin to drop in, which is what you feel when you have over given everything to everyone else and having and nobody's given it back to you. Sometimes we then look at, is that because we've not expressed our needs to other people, or is it because we're giving without the expect we are actually giving it with the expectation of I want something back? Are we receiving it? And so it's looking at that as well and noticing that that's can be a triangulation, and then going, am I noticing that? Why am I feeling that? Can I then look at, and again, most of the time it's because we've not seen ourselves and we've not said, hey, you, hi out, hi, how are you doing? Giving yourself a wink in the mirror, like depending on where you are in terms of that, like that journey of self-love, but like really, first thing in the morning, good morning, have a great day, a little wink in the mirror, or as you do on your Instagram, which I love. But it's the same thing of saying, I notice myself, I see you, and you're here and you're doing a good job. Like, welcome. You're a good mum, So,
Amazing. We should all be winking in our mirrors after today, ladies.
please wink in your mirrors. And if it feels uncomfortable, like, keep going. And just, and even if it's like, hi, I notice you. And then give that a month and then see how it gets you, because you will all be winking in the mirrors eventually.
Absolutely. It's just a continuation of repeating the same thing, and then soon it's like, oh, this is familiar to me now. Ooh. Do you know, I could ask you so much, but I'm going to finish with one thing to the listeners. Say, like a lot of women listening here, perhaps mothers, perhaps business owners, they have anxiety, just want to basically up level their life. What would a lovely, wonderful piece of Lottie advice be?
Seek help, reach out, know that you can always reach out. So, and whoever that is, know that like you are worthy of reaching out and you deserve to reach out and you deserve to live the best life you possibly can. And you are worthy of living the best life you possibly can.
You deserve to live the best life that you possibly can. And there's so many possible and potential ways for you to do that.
100%. And so, yeah, keep going. And if you're a mama, keep going. You're doing a good mama. Good job, mama. Like, definitely. And the business lady is the same thing. Like, you're amazing in a sector that could potentially be very male dominated. Like, you're incredible. So,
Fucking
yeah.
yes.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you so much, Lottie, for coming on today. And I'm going to put all of Lottie's links in my notes so you can head over to Hector's house and have a little look around. And if anyone is sitting here feeling like this, is speaking to them for themselves personally or for someone you know in your life,
do exactly what Lottie has just said and reach out, because you don't need, it doesn't mean that you need to like be sitting around, sitting down and having a therapy session right now, but it might lead to that. But the first step is just reaching out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. Thank you so much. I love you to bits.
Love you to bits too, Sammy. Thank you so much for having me.
Amazing. And everyone else, I will see you. I will speak to you next week.
Take care, guys. Bye.
Bye.